I want to use some scripture for a few minutes this morning. Out of the New Testament, out of one of my favorite books in the Word of the Lord, I tell people that over the years, you develop favorite chapters, favorite stories, favorite verses, favorite books. I guess everyone probably has each one of those. Sometimes I'm a little hard pressed for knowing just exactly if I had to pick out a chapter, which one that I'd want. But I've always said that I've always enjoyed reading the Apostle Paul's writing to the young preacher Timothy. And when I first began preaching, I could look at that and read it, and it was applicable to me because I was a young preacher and I needed all that advice that the old preacher was giving. I got a lot of advice from older preachers as I began. Some of it was good, some of it was not so good, and I suspect that probably hasn't changed any over the years, that we all do that. But anyway, as I read what the Apostle Paul wrote to the young preacher Timothy, I could see how that would apply to me. As I've gotten older, I realize that it no longer can be applicable to me in the sense that I'm not that young preacher anymore. I'm the old preacher. But the advice is still good. It's still the Word of the Lord. And it's some that I read probably more often than any other book in the Word of the Lord is 1st and 2nd Timothy. Many of you have heard me say that my favorite verse out of the Word of the Lord is, "Judge not that you be not judged, for with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged, and what measure you meet, it shall be measured back unto you again." Now, that's always a challenge to me because I am very judgmental, and I'm very prone to judge people, and sometimes, in fact, many times, my judgment is erroneous. And I finally recognize that I'm not nearly as good at that as I'd like to think I am, or as probably as I should be. And so I need to be careful as I pass judgment on the other individual, because according to the Word of the Lord, I can expect the same type of judgment that I'm meting out to be meted back unto me. So that probably is the thing. I guess probably if you had to pick a chapter, it'd be pretty hard to go against the love chapter. And that's one that probably is applicable to each and every one of us. And my favorite story out of the Word of the Lord is the blind boy. The blind boy. I've always called him a boy, and I don't know that it says he's a boy, but he's the blind man who was sitting beside the road, and Jesus came by and told him to go to the pool of Siloam and wash, and he'd receive his sight. And there was, I think probably the reason that one means so much to me is that when you really begin to look at everything and see what was going on there, there's a tremendous amount in that one particular instance in the Word of the Lord, and that it gives us, for without any reservation, exactly what the individual needs to do to be saved. It also then tells what we as a child of God need to be able to do once we have been saved. And the thing that I think is most important about that is that when God saves the individual and gives them their own experience of salvation, that's adequate. You don't have to embellish it. You don't have to try to make it sound like everybody else's. You don't have to worry about whether anyone else believes it or not, because there are always going to be people who aren't going to believe you. That's just, no matter how old I've gotten, I still find there are people who do not believe me. And I can accept that. I can understand that. Not only about being saved, but about many of the other things. But let me tell you this morning that when God saves you, you need not worry about what everyone else thinks, says, or does, or don't do. So that particular portion of the Word of the Lord is good. Now, this morning, I want you to listen to what the Apostle Paul says to the young preacher Timothy. He's written to him a number of things, but this is what he said. "These things command and teach." In another place, Paul writing to him says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his coming. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. So there are some things that as we preach the word of the Lord that we have a responsibility to do. There are some things the Apostle Paul said that we need to command and we need to teach. There are some things, Leela and I always have a thing going about the commandments, and she's always talking about the Ten Commandments, and I always talk about the Two Commandments. And we're both on the same page. We're okay with that. And so I can use her. And I hope I never offend you, Leela. I never mean to. But you know, whenever that we can listen to the word of the Lord and we can understand that there are some things in His word that He commands us to do. He doesn't say, if you want to, this is optional with you as one of my children. You do it if you want to, and if you don't want to, it'll be okay. No, God doesn't work that way. God's pretty specific on many things, and He doesn't deviate just because it's me or because it's you. His word is true, it is perfect, it is going to stand, and it is our responsibility to listen and to know what He says. And this is what He said, let no man despise thy youth. See, first of all, he recognized that this young preacher who was going to be down here, and he was working with a new group of people, and that many of them were going to be suspicious of him because he was a young, inexperienced preacher. And let me assure you this morning that every young, inexperienced preacher needs all of the support and all of the prayer and all of the confidence that we can muster to be supportive of them. I'm convinced that God still calls men to preach the gospel today, and whenever He calls them, He will qualify them. God will qualify them. God doesn't call someone that He can't qualify. But I'll assure you this, that as He does call them, they're going to need support. They're going to need my support. They're going to need your support. And the last thing they need is for us to be critical of them and finding all the faults in them, because they'll have enough of those already, as each and every one of us do. And that isn't just applicable to young preachers. I, as an old preacher, can tell you that I still have my faults, and you can find them faster than anyone in the world. But I need your support. I need your prayers. I need your encouragement sometimes, because believe it or not, as old as I get, I still find once in a while that I get a little discouraged. I get to the point to where I think, you know, what's the use? You know, why am I beating my head against the wall? And that's just natural. I'm sure that each one of you probably have those same experiences in your life. And so I don't know why you think that would be an exception with me. But most of the time people do. They think we got some kind of a special dispensation upon us that we're exempted from all these things. Let no man despise thy youth. Now we're an old church here. Now let's just be honest about it. Let's face it. We're getting to be an old church. And that's unfortunate. It worries me sometimes that that's the case. But I can't just go out here and fill this church up with young people. If I could, I would. I'll guarantee you that. I'd still have room for y'all. Don't misunderstand me. I wouldn't kick you aside or anything, because I think it is important that we have the older people. But what we need to understand in the older people is that we need those young people too. We need to be encouraging them. We need to be supportive of them. We need to, rather than saying, you know, we're doing fine, we're getting along great, God's blessing us here, and He is. I don't doubt that for a second, but we need those young people. Are they going to think the way we do? Absolutely not. I'll never forget when we got ready to start building our little addition on the back here, and basically, you know, we had a large group of young people come at the time, and I said, I'm going to tell y'all something right now. Whenever we get these young kids in here, you're going to find out they don't think the way we do. They don't behave the way we do. And they aren't going to treat this the way that you think it should be. They're going to forget maybe that this place has some sacredness to us about it. It has some good memories about it. They're going to come in here, and it's a facility for them to use. And so we need to understand those things. And lo and behold, I was not wrong. And lo and behold, some of our people got all upset about it. Well, you can only be upset about things for about so long, and something's going to happen one way or the other. You know what happened? And it's not easy to just go out and get them back. But we need the young people. Are we going to survive? The church will be here when the Lord comes back. Now, will Elkton Baptist Church be here? I don't know. I hope it is. People say, well, I don't know what we're going to do whenever you're gone. Well, I'll tell you what you're going to do. You're going to keep going right on. The Lord doesn't, you know, I'm not his only man. You know that. Come on, people. Let's be sensible and be reasonable about things. God will have the man whenever the time comes. Don't you worry about that. What you need to be worrying about is whether or not you're going to be able to be supportive and whether you're going to be encouraging and whether or not you're going to say, well, you know, that young whippersnapper who's coming in and out, he isn't going to do things the way that old preacher did. I hope he doesn't. I don't want anyone doing the way I've done. No, because I've done too many things wrong. Too many things that you know, should have been done differently. And I mean that in all sincerity. Paul said to the young preacher, let no man despise thy youth. But now listen to what he said. But be thou an example. Be an example. That's applicable to each and every one of us that are here this morning. We are an example unto the world that's lost today as to how we are living for the Lord. Every single one of us. There are people this morning who are setting an example and said it wasn't important to be at church today. Is it important that I be there? There are other things that are more important to me than going to church. Now, next week when they're out here somewhere, they're going to say, you know, I love the Lord and I just love his people. I love to be in his house. And you got to say, now, wait a minute. Walmart was more important on Sunday morning than Elkton Baptist Church was. Now, I don't know that we've got any members down there this morning, Ronnie, so I hope I'm making a statement that doesn't hold any water. But you get my point? You know, there's an old adage that says, I can see you, but I can't hear you. Be an example. And so we are examples, each and every one of us. And so we need to take a look and say, what kind of an example am I setting? What am I being? What is important in life? And it's easy for us to say, oh, the Lord's the most important thing in our life, and then turn around and put everything else ahead of him. You got to wonder then, is he really that important in our lives? Is he really, does he mean that much to us that we'll put him first, or does he come in here, down here, second, third, or fourth, somewhere along the line? Every one of us have to answer those for ourselves. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word. In word. Our word. You know, our word needs to be good. Our word needs to be good. And sometimes that's difficult. Sometimes we're put in places and positions and situations that for us to be able to give our word and then to keep our word, we know it's going to be tough. We know it is. But I'm going to tell you this morning that I have a greater appreciation for the person who gives me their word and then stays with it no matter what the consequences may be and will stand by it than I do for the person who's going to tell me one thing and turn right around and do the opposite. Be an example in word, in conversation. And I thought about that one for a little bit, staying in our conversations. And you know, I have a lot of fun. I joke with a lot of people a lot of times, I kid a lot with people. I always try to say, you know, I hope that people can tell the difference in when I'm being serious and when I'm just joking around about things. I want people to be able to know that I can be, and there are some serious times. You see, I take this very seriously, the preaching of the gospel. I told, I believe it was Karen and Tracy and maybe some of the rest of you, when we were talking about revival time, I said, I'm going to tell you something right now. From my perspective as an evangelist, the most important part of the service is not the songs, it's not the preaching, it's the invitation. Right there. That's where you put everything that you've done. You take that, and we've sung the best we can sing. We've prayed the best we can pray. And you preach the best you can preach. And you put the responsibility right out there on the shoulders of those who are going to respond to the invitation. And let me tell you what Satan will do every time that he can. And I've been in so many services, and I know what I'm talking about here. He'll do something to disrupt that part of the service. There may be somebody who sat there through the whole service and hadn't thought about going to the bathroom until it's time for the invitation song, but as soon as it starts, they've got to get up and go trotting out. Now, that's distracting. Now, please don't misunderstand me. I know sometimes you cannot help that. And if you've been one of those persons who's ever had to do it, and I have, you got to do it. But if a baby is going to cry, I'll guarantee it'll cry during the time of the invitation, because then everybody's looking over there, see, oh, that little baby's crying, it's making so much noise, I can't hear what's going on. I sometimes think that Satan takes things like that just to distract and get people's mind off of what you hope you've got them centered on. Now, I'm not being critical of anybody who's ever had this happen. Babies are going to cry. People are going to have to go to the bathroom. And once in a while, somebody's just got to kick and stomp around a little bit. And there are some times when people want some attention. Now, let's be honest about it. But let me tell you something. One of the things that I find anymore is that, as an example, our conversation needs to be such that people can know when we're honest, when we're sincere, when it is right on the money. And I'm surprised the number of people who can't carry on a conversation anymore, or who don't want to because they're doing this all the time, you know. My goodness, people, I sometimes think, am I really that boring? That you don't even want to carry on a conversation, that you don't want to be involved. I can't believe that. I look at the computer some. I spend some time. My computer comes up once a week and tells me how much time per day I've spent on it the last week. And sometimes it says, your usage has gone up 61% since last week. And I go, well, I don't know how it could have. I wasn't on it that much. I sometimes think it doesn't know what it's talking about either. Well, I need to get off of this. But our conversation... Our conversation needs to be with one another. We need to be able to communicate with one another. And our conversations and our communications need to be sincere. They need to be honest. They need to be valid. You know, so much of the time anymore, we just tell anything that we want and it's supposed to be okay. That's not a very good example. Be an example. The Apostle Paul said to Timothy in conversation, in charity. In charity. And I said, well, now he's going to get off the preaching on giving. No. Pop. Hold it. You didn't read your Bible again. Charity in there does not mean the giving of your money. The charity in the Bible means love. Yeah, love. We need to be an example in love. We need to be able to love one another. God gave us love whenever He saved our soul. He places love in our heart for one another. He places love in our heart for Him. And the reason it is, says He loved us before we loved Him. And so we need to love one another. We need to act like it sometimes that we love one another. My goodness, I don't have leprosy. I don't have a plague. You don't have to just put me off at arm's length all the time. I'm not saying y'all do. I don't believe that they do here. I don't even know of a single member here that does that. Maybe there are some, and I don't know about it. That may be that I'm just not sensitive enough about it. Listen, we need to love one another as God's children. We need to love people who are lost. We need to love them because they are lost, and they need to be saved. We don't have to love everything they're doing. We don't have to approve of everything they're doing. We don't have to love each other and approve of every single thing that we're doing. But we do need to love each other. And once in a while, we need to tell each other that. Y'all have heard me preach that so many times, and I know you get tired of hearing me saying it. But it's one of the things that we need to hear. I love you. I love you. Husbands, you need to say that to your wives once in a while. I put that in my marriage ceremonies anymore. I usually put in there that, you know, each one of you need to say to the other one, every day, every day. Not just whenever the other one's done something good for you or something that's pleased you, but you need to say every single day to each other, I love you. So, well, he don't mean it. Well, you don't know whether he means it or not. Put a little more faith in him. Or he may say, well, she just says that to everybody. Well, maybe she's saying it special to you. But we need to be able to say, I love you once in a while. Charity, be an example. In spirit. In spirit. Now, most every single one of you at one time or another, I've seen you in the spirit. And buddy, let me tell you, you can really get with it. Unfortunately, most of the time, it's not in church. There's nothing wrong with serving the Lord in spirit. The Apostle Paul said, for as much as in me is, as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. Sometimes we just need to come in here and to worship the Lord with everything there is about us. When we sing the songs of praise unto the Lord, it doesn't matter to me whether you're in A flat or C flat. Now, to some of our people here, it does. But it doesn't matter to me at all. As long as you're singing and you're in the spirit of the thing and you're enjoying it, that's what's going to count. And if I can't enjoy hearing you, then I need to just close up my ear and say, I'll just sing to myself and I'll enjoy it. But we need to do things with a little more gusto, a little more excitement, a little more, oh, Lord, I've got to go back up here and do that again today. He's almost out of time right now, thank heavens. I've looked. I know what that clock says. But in spirit, we need to be I think we really need to be excited more about the Lord than what we are. Maybe we're not excited about Him because He's not doing that much for us. And maybe the reason He's not doing that much for us is we're not doing that much for Him. I can tell you where the fault will be, and it won't be with Him. In faith. Who is it? The writer of Hebrews said, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But faith, we need to demonstrate our faith. Some of you say, well, now, preacher, you haven't done a very good job of indicating to us that you've got much faith as to what's going to happen to this church because of us being old. That'll be the one thing you'll remember going out of here today is I got up there and called you old. Yeah. Now, I never picked out a single one of you and said that. I said the church. So, that could just be that nebulous group up here that nobody else seems to know anything about. But it's not me. Okay. To be an example in faith and in purity. Yeah. Remember I said, was it last week, week before last? Let your light so, I didn't say it, this is scripture. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. And what? Glorify our Father which is in heaven. Out of a pure heart, out of a sincere heart, a life that we're living, I get so aggravated out of the people who put on so much pretense as to how good they are when I know better. You know what? I don't know of a single person in my life that doesn't get up and put their pants on one leg at a time. And by golly, let me tell you something. I may not be nearly as good as they are, but I'm not as bad as they think I am. And sometimes we just need to understand that those who are so holy are probably not near as holy as they'd like to think. And if there's a thing in the word of the Lord that's called hypocrisy, those people are probably a prime example of it. So whatever in the world you do, get out here, be yourself. Be yourself. And if somebody doesn't like it, it can be tough. But you know what? God made you as a unique individual, and He didn't expect you to look like everybody else and act like everybody else and talk like everybody else. But He did say to be an example. So whatever it is, you know, when I'm finally gone, the only thing they're going to remember is what I've done while I was here. Yeah. That's all. And most of that will be forgotten before long. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example unto the believers. We have a responsibility to one another to be an example. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee in prophecy with the laying on of the hands of presbytery. Meditate upon these things and give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Fourth chapter, 1 Timothy, last few verses, left-hand page, right-hand column, bottom of the top of the page. Thank you. You're at liberty to go.